Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We've converted some, but almost it's been too hard to convert some of those, right? It shouldn't be that hard. And, you know, we were inside the one, to your point, late in the game there. And, you know, we were having a little bit of trouble with the snap quarterback center exchange, just in terms of going under center at that situation in the game. But again, just overall, whatever it is, we've got to do a better job of executing.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Short yardage situations. The Bills did have, you know, less than a foot to go to get the game-winning touchdown in the final 2 minutes, and they were unable to get it done.
Speaking of things that would have changed the narrative, what if they do, and Tua drives the Dolphins down for the win?
Then
that's a different conversation.
It's very different.
If that happens, you know, your conversation about can they win the Super Bowl, maybe not with that quarterback. If he drives and beats the Bills, I mean, people are obviously calling about the Bills skeleton squad at defense. That probably would be the biggest thing, right? Well, come on, who'd you do it against?
Yeah. I'm going to have to play around with that a little bit. Let's go to the Western Hotline first and get Sean Stepner of WMAR and ABC Baltimore on the Western Hotline, formerly here in Buffalo, WKBW. Sean, it's Joe and Jeremy here on WGR. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, boys? Happy to be here.
Yesterday I did say that about Tua. I still don't think yet that he's a quarterback that can win the Super Bowl. I did, in hindsight, also said that I think Lamar Jackson is a quarterback that can win the Super Bowl. And I have to imagine, Sean, that is the story of the first three games for the Ravens, is not only how well Jackson's playing, but it sounds like a lot of his success is coming from the pocket.
Absolutely. I mean, 10 passing touchdowns, first in the NFL, 2 rushing touchdowns, one of those being a 78-yarder, longest of his career. But you're right. I mean, he is taking it to a level like we've never seen before from Lamar, specifically through the air. And it's kind of a surprise because of the weapons that he's using. You know, they entered the season trading their former number one receiver. I mean, I don't know if you could really call him a number one around the league, Marquise Brown, but, you know, for what the Ravens had, he was their number one receiver. They trade him at the draft, and they didn't really replace him. So they entered with second-year receiver Rashad Bateman as their, I guess, number one by default, and Devin Duvernay, and then they picked up DeMarcus Robinson after he was cut by the Raiders. So there's your wide receiving core. That doesn't really scream out that Lamar's going to have a great season through three games, but he really has, and he's utilized those weapons along with Mark Andrews, who has been his security blanket over his career. But yeah, I mean, he's really spreading the ball around, using those weapons, and Duvernay especially and Rashad Bateman have helped him.
So the formula might be different then, correct? Like from past years when the Ravens were above the Bills a couple of years ago in 2019, it was this ground game is dominant, the O-line is great, the defense is one of the best in football, and yeah, they might be lacking for pass catchers, but all of that together, they were one of the best regular season teams, maybe the best for like a three-year span. Now, what else is going on around Jackson? It feels like the defense, the stats are not good. The ground game, at least in terms of the running back stats, are not good. What is the infrastructure, the state of the infrastructure on the Ravens around Lamar Jackson?
Right. So, I mean, to your previous question about kind of like what's the story been, it's got to be Lamar. It has been Lamar for sure, and I feel like that's the national narrative around the Ravens as well has been, you know, Lamar Jackson. But looking closer at this team, they really have not improved the defense and specifically the pass defense all that much. I mean, they were last in the league last year. They're last in the league this year. A lot of that came from the Dolphins' meltdown of the fourth quarter against the Dolphins 2 weeks ago, where Tua passed for four touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and they outscored the Ravens 28-3 to beat them. You know, they had a rebound game against the Patriots, which they really needed, which was three interceptions. Instead of four touchdowns against, it was three turnovers, I should say, in the fourth quarter to help seal that win. You know, the staying on that point, you know, against Miami, they were banged up. They were playing rookies all over the place, and the rookies were getting burned. There was miscommunication. I mean, that's an excuse, but it did happen. They got a little healthier last game, and they should be even healthier back there against the Bills. On the offensive side, yeah, their run game has struggled. And it's really it goes back to last season as well. I mean, they were really banged up, and that was the story of the Ravens' 2021 season were the injuries. They lost before the season even began. They lost their entire running back room to season-long injuries. J.K. Dobbins, who was expected to have a breakout season last year, lost for the season. He made his 2022 season debut against the Patriots a few days ago, and it took some time to get warmed up. He kind of looked, as the game progressed, like he was getting better, but he was definitely on a pitch count. Justice Hill had his best game of his career. He was also one of the running backs out for the season last year, and he kind of was more of the bell cow against the Patriots, and I would assume he would get a big chunk of carries against the Bills, especially if the rain comes like we're expecting there to be weather and precipitation in this game. So, you know, their running game, it looks like it's improving, but, I mean, you know, to this point, they've had Kenyon Drake and Mike Davis. They benched Kenyon Drake last game to get Justice Hill more, and I would expect Justice Hill again to get some carries against the Bills.
Sean Stepner from ABC Baltimore on the Wesser Hotline at Stepner WMAR on Twitter.
Sean, we talked maybe like a month ago. I mean, it's only week four, so we talked right before the season. We were previewing all these teams, and one of the things I said to you about the Ravens was, I think great defense, and you said, well, not anymore. And that was right. The case last year. And it looks like this year it's a bit more of that. They are not having a good season defensively.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned the pass defense being a problem last year, last in the league, and they are that as well this year. And, you know, a lot of that comes from not getting to the quarterback. They cannot get pressure on the quarterback. It continues to be a problem. They're banged up. Tyus Bowser, outside linebacker, tore his Achilles in the season's finale last year. He still has not made his season debut. Justin Houston, the veteran, he was banged up last game. We'll see if he's practicing today and as the week goes on what his availability will be. He has a groin issue. You know, if you're looking at defensive tackles trying to get a push, I mean, Michael Pierce has an arm injury. Still don't know the significance of that. He most likely will not practice today. So, I mean, if they were relying on Adafe Owe to get pressure. He's been invisible. They can't rush the passer. You know, he has not shown up at all this year. They signed Jason Pierre-Paul. So, I mean, he'll practice today for the first time with the Ravens. I would anticipate him being active on Sunday, but I mean, how much are you going to get from a JPP at this point of his career in the first game with the Ravens? So yeah, it continues to be a problem, the defensive side of the ball.
And Kyle Hamilton, I don't want to indict his whole season on one play, but I think of the one deep touchdown Tyreek Hill got, and by the time he recognizes what's happening, Hill's 3 yards behind him, and it's over. Like, it's going to be a touchdown. Are things not going well for their first round safety?
He has definitely come on slower than they would have liked. I mean, a 14th overall pick, you would anticipate putting him in immediately. And I mean, that when you take a player that high, you want him to make an impact, if not immediately, then very soon after. You know, they do have an abundance at the safety position. You know, when they drafted Kyle Hamilton and they had signed Marcus Williams, they had Chuck Clark, and Chuck Clark was not happy about it. He did ask to be moved, and thankfully they did not move him. They restructured his deal a little bit, and Chuck Clark is still, you know, he has performed well, like he has over his career. But yeah, Kyle Hamilton, you know, he has been slow, it looks like, on the mental side. He has all the talent in the world. He has all the athleticism in the world, but mentally it's taken him a while. And it, you know, it came to light in that Miami game where there was definite miscommunication in the fourth quarter after touchdowns. You saw veterans and even other rookies kind of going up to him. You know, they're talking about, you know, the play and where everybody was supposed to be. And so, yeah, there's been miscommunication, but, you know, he came back against the Patriots. His biggest play of his career was causing a fumble. Marcus Peters recovers at the sideline. And, you know, Mac Jones and the Patriots were driving a couple times to take the lead in that game. They were down five. Marlon Humphrey comes up with the interception in the back of the end zone, and then Kyle Hamilton with the forced fumble. That's definitely given him some kind of mental momentum, if you want to call it that, some confidence heading into Sunday.
Talking Ravens with Sean Stepner, who, by the way, coincidentally, kind of a quirk in the schedule. They've started with three AFC East games, and the Bills will be their fourth in a row. So all their AFC East games are just done. That's it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Their tour of the AFC East. They had the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and now the Bills.
Is there any conversation about Jackson's usage? We've done that a little bit with Allen, and that can happen when a team gets this good, as you start to microanalyze the little things. And Allen, for as much as he gets hit and as much as he runs the ball, I think it's like 449 rush attempts in his career so far. Jackson's over 600, and yeah, Jackson is the only player in the league that's been hit more.
His number is 87% of the total offense. Now, that number itself is a little bit weird and shouldn't probably be used.
Yeah.
But for anybody that's pointed out that Allen's been 85% of the Bills, that same way to measure, Lamar has been 87.
Okay. So, Sean, is there any worry, I guess, about there's just too much on his plate?
I don't think so. I haven't heard anybody mention any type of kind of like that narrative, that storyline. I mean, if you kind of look at Lamar, I think the first couple years maybe into year three, he was really relying on his athleticism and his legs to, if something breaks down, boom. I mean, if I don't get my first option, my first read, I'm taking off. And he could do it because it proved to be successful time and time again. I mean, he's arguably the best runner and he's better than most running backs. I mean, he's electric when he tucks the ball and goes upfield. He has throughout his career over the last 2-3 years talked at length about how he values passing the ball and being able to be a complete quarterback in that regard very highly. I mean, he's always said that he would love to pass for a touchdown more than run for a touchdown any Sunday, any Monday, any Thursday, right? So, and this year he's doing it, and he really worked on that in the off season. He put on weight, you know, maybe that's helping a little bit with the zip on the ball. He did not attend voluntary OTAs. He stayed back with his personal quarterback coach, worked on his throwing. Now, a lot of the reason he didn't attend voluntary OTAs is everybody knows he's in the final year of his rookie deal, right? I mean, the Lamar contract talk is kind of been bantered about at nauseum all off season, and that, you know, less over the last 3 weeks since they put those talks on hold. But, you know, he has really worked on his passing game, and so far he's come out gangbusters in these first three games.
Real quick, the rest of the AFC North, the Browns' numbers are good. The loss of the Jets isn't, but the numbers look good with Brissett in so far. The Bengals can't protect Burrow, and he holds onto the ball forever. And then who am I missing? The Steelers kind of look like a train wreck too. So what do you make of the rest of the division around the Ravens?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. I would, you know, going into the season, you're thinking to yourself, the Steelers, I mean, Mike Tomlin, they're going to figure out a way. But, I mean, it does not look like they're anywhere close to figuring out a way. You know, the Browns, everybody's looking for Deshaun to come back. And you know, they're kind of Jacoby Brissett's holding things down. I'll say this about the Bengals. When it comes to the Bengals play the Ravens tough. I mean, and they just absolutely annihilated them twice last year. So everybody here in Baltimore is looking at the Bengals like, okay, let's just wait until we get Cincinnati, and then we'll look at the rest of the season. Everybody's weary about facing Joe Burrow and the Bengals down the line.
Well, no DJ Reader, which is a huge, huge loss for them, right? He's out for how many weeks, yeah. Joe? Like four?
Six weeks? I think so. Yeah, like okay. A month, I think I saw.
Yeah.
Right. Hmm.
Jeremy does kind of a flair of whatever opponent's coming up. Any recommendation, food recommendation for that
what
has to do with Baltimore for Sunday?
I mean, you got to go crab cakes. That's no lie.
Yes.
I mean, it's funny because when a lot of people know in the media room here in Baltimore that I worked in Buffalo for 8.5 years, and if anybody's going up that way, they're like, should I really get the whale? Are they really that much better than anywhere? I'm like, yes, they are. Like, everybody's competing for the best wing. I mean, they're really bad. Here, the crab cakes are better. There's also something called pit beef. It's kind of like I would equate it to like a beef on weck without the cumberweck roll, but a little more charred, a little more like kind of like, you know, fired in the pit. So kind of get the pit beef or the pit turkey. But if you like any kind of seafood, even if you don't, try out the crabs.
It's funny you mentioned the pit beef. I'm glad you said that one. I know about the crab cakes. Miami, it was like, oh, you know, seafood.
Yeah.
I like, though, stuff you maybe don't know about. Like Miami-style ribs are a thing. And
really?
I just, yeah, you know, like I found out about short ribs, like Miami-style ribs. And for Baltimore, one of the things that I immediately found when I searched this Baltimore style was Baltimore-style pizza, which does that just exist on Google, Sean, or do you guys have that?
I've never in my life. I mean, I grew up in Maryland. I've been back here since 2016. I have my go-to local pizza places, but Baltimore pizza, I've never, you know what? I will say this. There is a local place called Lido Pizza.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Okay. So I wouldn't really call that Baltimore pizza, but like it's a local chain. And interestingly enough that you bring it up, one of their, I got caught in a Twitter beef between Lido and Franco's a number of years back because they're both square pizza and they both use some kind of variation on the phrase or the slogan, "We don't cut corners," right? So
yeah.
They were like going at it, and I was kind of in the middle of it, being like, "I love Franco's, I love Lido." It's a thing, but yeah, Lido. I will support a Lido pizza if someone comes down here. Definitely get it.
Is there like a certain like style of, like Buffalo pizza? I think of it. Oh, it's thicker. New
cup
York, it's thinner.
Buffalo, I think cup and char is what and I char. Think more than anything, right? And this Lido's, it says that what they do is it's rectangular, biscuity crust, sweet tomato sauce, but smoked provolone cheese is part of it.
Yeah, yeah, it's for sure. It's kind of like not a meatier cheese, but kind of a thicker cheese. Kind of, it has that bite. You got to chew it. And then the it's thick cut pepperoni. Okay, it's a little spicy pepperoni.
Love that.
The crust is thin, but it is. You know what? I never heard of that biscuity. It's kind of biscuity. But it's not like a salty biscuit, right? It's like, it's kind of like flaky. It's a kind of a flaky crust. It's good. Yeah, do it. The sauce is a little sweeter with the spice, the pep. It's good. I'm a fan.
I'm leaving right now.
I'm about to go check if there's donuts in the bistro.
Sounds
because
like
I'm
the best
really
pizza
hungry.
Of all time. Yeah.
on the food talk, Sean. Thanks again for joining us. We'll root for a Bills Ravens playoff game, so you get back up here and have some wings.
Would love to. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Sean.
All right, see you.
Sean Stepner on the Western Rail Hotline at Stepner WMAR to follow him on Twitter.
Exciting. When we get back, ESPN has invented, revealed a new wide receiver evaluation stat.
Ooh.
Yes,
okay.
It's called the receiver tracking, RTMs. ESPN's receiver tracking metrics, four different ways based on NFL Next Gen stats and player tracking, to rank who are the best receivers, tight ends, targets. We will tell you which Bill is, not that surprisingly, ranked very highly in the ESPN receiver tracking metrics. It's brand new. Seth Walder tweeting about it. They just basically roll it out today, a new way to look at receivers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Cates makes a handoff, going to throw it. Looks downfield, fires downfield, looking for Diggs inside the five, dives for it, makes the catch, and it is caught. Touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. Touchdown, Bills.
I'm guessing that's going to be the player Jeremy teased going into the break that is top of the league in, what was the stat again that ESPN's putting out, the metric? I might not have Jeremy. That's okay. We'll get him back and reconnected here. The stat ESPN is releasing receiving metrics. Well, we'll get with that with Jeremy in just a moment here. Yeah, because I don't have it in front of me, but I'm imagining because Evan played the clip and he said it would be pretty obvious that Diggs is going to be the player at the top of the list. Well, I have a second here. Quick thought on Xavier Rhodes. The PFF grades do point to he's got some left in the tank. And we'll see if he's able to start right away, but they liked him 2 years ago a lot, and they liked him a little bit last year, although a lot of injuries last year for Xavier Rhodes. All right, Jeremy, what do we got? Is it Diggs? Is it Diggs for this ESPN receiving?
Yes, you'll be stunned to find out a brand new stat says Stephon Diggs is very good.
Stunning. When you started saying it, I'm like, he's almost setting it up as though it's going to be surprising.
Well,
no.
There is one thing here that is, I think, maybe surprising, okay? So ESPN Seth Walder has put this together, the new receiver tracking metrics. NFL player tracking based stats. Sports data scientist Brian Burke laid out the details. Open score, catch score, yak score. Those are the three things they chart receiver on. And they put a formula in, blah, blah, blah. If you really want to know, look into this. But
yeah,
these people are literally paid to do the fancy math, and I just trust a lot of it. So I bet you couldn't get the number one overall score. I bet you couldn't get it unless I gave you one clue as I asked the question.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. No, you're gonna give me the clue first? What?
The clue, by asking it this way, I'll be giving you a clue. Okay?
Okay.
So can you tell me who the best pass catcher in the NFL is?
The best pass catcher. Okay. Christian McCaffrey.
No. But you caught on to the clue. It's not a receiver.
Okay. Mark Andrews.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. He would have been the number one tight end. So
Mark Andrews is number one.
Wow. Number one. Is there any other tight end close?
George Kittle is number eight.
Okay. It's possible. It's not like he's just a freak and that he could be playing wide receiver. His target share has been crazy through
Massive.
The first three games of the season.
Yep.
Yeah, he's one of these Gronkowski, Kelsey, Frankensteins where the speed is there and he could just stick his butt out and whoever's covering him and he has 4 yards to be able to catch the football.
So
he's number one.
Yeah, number one. So on that's overall score.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have the highest open score.
Sure.
He doesn't have the highest catch score. He certainly doesn't have the highest yak score, but whatever. He's number one. The top three receivers, number two overall, number one receiver is Cooper Kupp.
Not stunning.
Number three, this is not stunning, but it's not a name we mentioned nearly enough. This is a guy that I loved the idea of the Bills adding to their receiver core.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. The perfect slot answer that would not be Jamison Crowder and would not be Khalil Shakir. It is?
Oh, was there a...
Was there a
Tyler Lockett week in the offseason? Wasn't
Tyler
there?
Lockett.
Tyler Lockett
is number three.
I remember that because you were the first one maybe that got to that, but I loved that idea.
And number
so
four
much.
Is Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Five, A.J. Brown. Now, here's where Diggs stands out more than any. With this ESPN new ranking, next-gen stats, and player tracking, the number one receiver in the NFL on how open they are, every route, not just routes they're targeted. They chart how open is this player on every route. The best in the NFL is A.J. Brown.
Really?
And the second best in the NFL is Stephon Diggs. Yep.
Do you think of them as doing that differently, though? Brown,
yes.
I think of more just he's a freak athlete and Diggs is like a technician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Brown is amazing.
Yes.
Titans traded him away. Absolutely amazing. And not only did they trade him away, they did it for a guy in Burks who, I mean, we'll see. But, Joe, one of the big scouting reports on him in college was he didn't separate at a great level. They traded away literally the number one receiver in the NFL at getting open.
Yeah.
For a guy that was also big but doesn't necessarily get open. Like, maybe he figures it out. Maybe they scheme him a certain way, whatever. Anyway, cool stuff, like this new metric they're measuring here.
On Brown, quickly, there's a function on the Sleeper Fantasy app that I have where if one of your players gets mentioned in a blurb or, like, any type of report, then you get a notification. 5 minutes ago, I just got a notification. Mike Vrabel, quote, wants to get Treylon Burks more involved in the offense. And isn't that kind of just the whole story there? That Brown is, according to this metric, the number one receiver in getting open. When a guy gets open like that, you don't have to work harder to get him involved in the offense.
Well, in Tennessee, they did because they definitely didn't throw it to him enough.
Well, that's right.
But, yeah.
But Burks now, you have the compounding factor of you don't throw it enough, and he's not just going to be open when Tannehill's looking around.
Right. It's funny, like, I think of the Titans and the Seahawks in the same way here, by the way. Two teams that are hell-bent on running the ball, right?
Yep.
The Titans, hey, you should have been passing to A.J. Brown. Trade him. Bring in Burks. Okay, we're going to try and throw to Burks. In Seattle, it was, you should let Russell Wilson throw it more. And already, like, 3 weeks in, Pete Carroll's talking about letting Geno Smith throw it more.
Yeah.
It turns out you, anyway.
By passing EPA, like, above expected, they're actually, well, they're a lot better than Denver. But they've upgraded from, like, last year to this year.
And one other name on this list that I'll just say is worth mentioning. Number 6 in the NFL in open score. He didn't make the top 10 of overall receivers.
Okay.
But number 1 is A.J. Brown. Number 2 is Stephon Diggs. Number 3 is Diontae Johnson. Number 4 is Justin Jefferson. Number 5 is Mark Andrews. And the 6th best in the NFL at open on every play is a name that you care about.
I specifically care about?
I do too. Some Bills fans do care about this name.
Why am I immediately drawing a blank? This is only this season?
Yes, we've only started to care about this name this season.
Oh, okay, so it's not Beckham.
It is Beckham.
Oh, like, it is that's Beckham. What I mean. I'm sorry, I thought you meant, were the stats only from this season?
No, I'm sorry. I thought you meant we care about him this season. It's Beckham. Beckham is 6th.
Yes, I love that. After Sunday's game, see if this grows, I have a huge appetite to see that happen. And it has not happened yet.
Yeah.
I just want to say, any of these moves, any of these receiver names, these guys that rank this highly.
Yeah,
I want, like, how deep does the list go? Does Gabriel Davis show up at any point?
I don't know if the full list is posted anywhere else. See if I can. But there's another name here that, again, this gets to the point about the draft pick of Shakir. Okay, I am excited to see what he becomes. I feel like sometimes if you're not an optimist, it means you are a pessimist. I'm not a pessimist on Shakir. But at no point did I expect Shakir to come into this offense and be a spark. Laviska Shenault got traded, Joe.
Yeah.
That's a yak guy. That's a guy. I'm this offense, I expect it to be really good. I wanted someone to pull defenses. I want someone that's a better yak receiver than what they've got. I wanted another weapon. And Cook was like, okay, we're going to get you James Cook. Non-factor at this point, right?
Yeah.
Non-factor James Cook. So hopefully that grows into something, or Shakir does. But I'm definitely not turning off the Beckham conversation. And if another Laviska Shenault caliber player gets traded, like, what was he traded for? You know?
Oh, nothing. It was like a 6th-round pick, 5th-round pick.
I would have done that. I would have done that in a heartbeat and try and mix him in as part of this offense too. So, you know, weapons, all the time weapons.
Especially,
but they've got a pretty good one in Diggs.
Especially a guy in a rookie contract like that. Because not just Beckham. Beckham works because it feels like you can get him cheap, given the contract he signed with the Rams last year. I wish the Bills had the cap situation to go after the next Tyreek Hill that becomes available. The next AJ, the circus that was the receiver market in the offseason. The Bills really couldn't take part in it because they had other people to pay, other things to sign. This will be where maybe I'll get frustrated with the Dawson Knox contract someday down the road, or any of these contracts down the road, in that here's Miami, and they're able to trade for Tyreek Hill because Jalen Waddle's on a rookie contract and Tua's on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
So that's how they're able to make it work with two receivers like that. But, man, I'm going to be a little jealous of every team that comes by and like, oh, yeah, we're going to throw a first-round pick at A.J. Brown. Because while the Bills have Diggs, am I being greedy if I say I want another guy like that?
No,
I want another Davante Adams? Another
guy like that? I mean, on Thursday, we're going to see Hill, Waddle, and Chase Higgins. And those are the two best, I think, 1-2s probably in the league. Right?
Yeah.
The Chargers are honorable mention, but probably behind. The Chargers might even are probably behind the Bills. For Davis and Diggs? Maybe. Allen's great. He has been great. Well, I don't know. That might be a little tougher one to parse out. But, you know, with Higgins and, you know, talking about these rookie contracts, Joe, that's a big one to watch. The biggest one, because Cincy is going to have to pay Burrow. They're going to have to pay Chase. Higgins comes up a year before Chase and can't be franchise tagged and isn't fifth-year optioned.
And they've already paid Tyler Boyd.
Right.
So that contract's already there.
Higgins is a second-round pick. There is no fifth-year option. What do they do with him? Because his numbers are number one receiver numbers.
There was a picture of him on Sunday. It was like a photo from the ground, which I guess could have distorted how high in the air. It looked like he jumped 20 feet in the air over whatever defender was covering him. The Boyd contract, by the way, that might be like a cut candidate next season because he's going into the final year of his deal, $10.3 million, and they could cut him and save $9 million. So maybe that's their answer.
If that's the case, how much does he cost and will he come here?
Tyler Boyd?
Yeah.
I would love the player.
Arguably the best slot receiver in football. He's one of the top five, top three.
While you were talking, I was trying to think of like what's another name the Bills could add? That like trademark it. Because we talk about the free agents a lot, right? DeSean Jackson and Will Fuller and Beckham more so than anybody. And you have been staunch on like they are gonna make a deadline move. And who could that be? Because if they're gonna do that, I want it to be a receiver, and I want it to be a receiver that can win on the outside, can get open, and that's easier said than done. The name I thought of that maybe even could be available at some point this year is Chase Claypool.
He's not too much like Davis to you?
Isn't he? I think of him more as being a little bit better in the yak category. The Steelers, actually, if you watch how they've used him this year and last year too at times, plays a lot in the slot. This year, it's predominantly in the slot. And they have been using him on jet sweeps.
Okay.
He's
a 4-4 guy.
He's a 4-4 guy. So, right, like the speed is not Fuller level or even Beckham level when he's healthy. But the yak ability, I don't know what his numbers look like on that front, but through three games, he's got 7 carries. So, like, there's 2-3 plays a game that they're handing him the football because they, like, the same way the Bills do with McKenzie, where they think he's going to create something.
How many yards do you have?
47.
Okay.
47 yards, so 6.5 yards per carry on those 7. And last year,
with a terrible offensive line in Pittsburgh and a team that's just generally bad.
That's true. Yeah. And he's had 31 carries for his career before that. So
okay. So they get him involved in the run game.
But I don't hate the comparison because otherwise I think they are a little similar. Claypool, though, again, might just be a little bit more well-versed than Davis's.
Yeah.
Rookie contract, too.
There you go.
All right. Extendo Sports on the way next. I got a United States men's national soccer team thing to bring up. maybe we'll get to Aaron Judge a little bit here. And also, there's a new superhero movie coming out that I want to bring up when we come back. Extendo Sports on the way. Joe DiBiase, Jeremy White on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
You know Jenna Cantrell?
Yes, Jenna Cantrell. I saw she Jenna tweeted Cantrell. A picture from Oak Hill.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be that guy now where anytime a certain hole at Oak Hill gets brought up, I'm just going to be like, yep, I parred that hole.
That's 12. You parred 12?
I parred 12. Like, yep, I parred it.
Yeah, I think that's what you're supposed to do. You play a course, especially a PGA course like that, yeah.
Jameis Winston not spotted on the plane to London?
The plane or the practice field?
Maybe it's the practice field. Yes, practice, sorry.
Okay. If he's missing from the plane, that's a bigger story.
That's right.
Although, Percy Harvin, Bills, didn't make the trip?
Yeah, was that... That was... Well, that's what I'm wondering about Winston. He has 5 fractures in his back, right?
Yeah.
So is this injury related or is this he's not able to enter England for some reason?
No, he's not practicing, right?
He's not practicing.
He's hurt. Who's their backup quarterback?
It is none other than the Red Rifle.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton is the Saints
backup.
I think
Dalton could have a little success with that receiving core.
I agree.
We were talking last segment about receivers. Early returns on rookie wide receivers. London and Olave appear to be real deals.
Olave, I think I saw, has more air yards than anyone else in the league by almost double. Like he's like got 560 air yards this year, and I think Ian Harditz is known to like he'll exaggerate stats to be funny sometimes. Is that one exaggerated? Because second it was like 310.
Well, that is maybe a part of playing with Winston. I mean, he's not afraid to throw it.
Yeah. That is actually very good for me, and I'm in a place, I don't want to talk too much about my fantasy team, but Scott Fishbowl, so the Scott Fishbowl that me and Mike Chope are in, it's a National Fantasy League, 2 quarterbacks, well, Superflex, so you need 2 quarterbacks. I went into the year with Joe Burrow, Trey Lance, and Deshaun Watson as my 3 quarterbacks. So here I am sitting in week 4, and I do not have a second quarterback other than Joe Burrow. So what did I do? I just mass picked up backups. Half my bench, Josh Dobbs, Tyler Huntley, one of the quarterbacks I picked up was Andy Dalton. So I might have just backed up into a starting quarterback for the week. London, 9:30, Saints and Vikings. Did you watch any of the United States men's national team World Cup preseason game against Saudi Arabia?
No, I just watched U.S. men's national team Twitter fans freak out about the team being a mess.
Yes, they have. This is three games in a row against 2022 World Cup teams. They have been shut out. No goals in their last three games against those teams. And Gio Reyna from Borussia Dortmund, hamstring injury. So, we'll see. But not a great spot, maybe, for the Americans going into the World Cup. And I've been super hopeful. Like, the group, like, Iran in that group. I know England is expected to come out on top. I thought it was a pretty favorable group, but Wales too, but we'll see. The World Cup, by the way, begins November 21st. And yeah, the U.S. been shut out in three straight games on that front. Are you a Marvel guy?
Somewhat. Okay. Somewhat. I saw the Deadpool Wolverine announcement.
Yes, will you watch the Deadpool Wolverine crossover movie that Marvel is putting together with Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman?
Presumably at some point. I don't know. This is where I'm going to embarrass myself and say I haven't seen either of the Deadpools.
Ooh. Me and Evan just did the exact same thing in here.
Yeah.
I can't talk because I haven't seen like 80% of the classic movies all time. Deadpool's great. You should see Deadpool. Like today.
I second that.
Yeah. I think you should watch Deadpool today.
I don't know if you know the situation at this house. There's
never mind. I feel
we got COVID positive kids, and it's Navy SEAL Hell Week at this house.
Navy SEAL Hell Week. well, good luck. Everyone feeling okay still?
So for the most part, yeah, we're coming through it. We're coming through it.
Good.
I'm all right.
All right.
Baby's sick. My wife lost her sense of taste. You know, I feel like it's when you have young kids, they get sick no matter what they're sick with. It's just a lot more stress. And it's been a week. That's where someone says, Lemon, it's Wednesday. That's right. That's how I feel. It's been a week. Well, it's Wednesday.
All right.
Anyway, back tomorrow.
All right. Back tomorrow. And I'm sticking around for the next 2 hours. Sal Capaccio and myself, Joe DiBiase, and the Extra Point Show coming up next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.